On your outline there, again, the Scripture states emphatically in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." The simple truth of this verse is that no matter how wonderful that we believe in our minds that heaven is, it will be better. How about that? I can conceive of a pretty wonderful heaven where there's no sin, there's no death, and there's no tumors on three-week-old babies. Amen. And there's no being laid up, Brother Horse, for weeks at a time and not being able to gather with God's people. Bless poor Nancy and Max. There's none of that pain and hurt or anything in heaven. But that verse says it hasn't even entered into my mind how good heaven's going to be. Hey, that's all right by me. Amen. But if you would, on your outline, however, in Revelation 21 and 22, God gives us just a very small glimpse of heaven. A very small glimpse of heaven. Number one, Roman numeral number one, we see the declaration. And then number one under that, we see the angel in verse 9. We see the angel. It says there, I'm back on the wrong page here. It says in verse 9 there, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me." On your outline there, one of the angels who poured out the seven vial or bowl judgments upon the earth. And the cross reference there, you have a blank line, parentheses, Revelation 16, 1 through 21 is when we find those final last judgments poured out. We remember we started way, way back in Revelation chapter 6 with the seal judgments. And then we had the trumpet judgments in Revelation chapter 9 and on, 8 and 9. And then we had the vial judgments, and they got worse and worse and worse. And so one of these angels that poured out one of those vial judgments comes to John again. And I say again because if you look back just a couple chapters in Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, when God was about to pronounce doom upon Babylon, he says this: "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither." Very similar statement. Was it the same angel? I don't know. And neither does any other Bible expositor. It was one of the seven angels. That's what we know. That's what God said. You know, boy, I'll tell you, going through Revelation, if we just stick with what God says, we're in a safe place. So many guys get off on so many tangents and they get into the foundation is this, and the secondary angel wing is made out of leather. And I tell you, you cannot believe some of the things you read. Just stick with what God said. Just stick with what God said. So we see the angel there, the judgments upon the earth, and he comes to John again and invites him to come hither, to come with him. To come with him as he did before. So we not only have number one, the angel, but number two, we have the amazing. The amazing. You say, what's the amazing there, Pastor? He says, "Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The angel whisks John away to see one of the most amazing sights that John, and we put in here, who had seen up to this point many amazing sights God had showed him here in the Revelation as he was exiled on the island of Patmos for preaching the gospel. God had fellowship with him and showed him incredible things, but this is one of the most amazing. He sees thus far that great city, the holy Jerusalem. The city is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. A careful study of Revelation 21:2 and 21:9 shows that this is a symbolic reference. Okay? Very important. Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." Okay? This symbolism is also seen concerning the city of Babylon. You remember the city of Babylon? The city itself was referred to as a harlot. A harlot. A symbol. It didn't mean that that actual city was a physical harlot. As we've said before, there are times when the Bible is symbolic. When Jesus said, "I am the door," he did not mean he was made of wood. Amen. It was a symbol that he was giving that somebody can understand. Here is another symbol. This city coming down, Babylon is referred to as a harlot, whereas here Jerusalem is compared to a bride. A bride. The bride of Christ is the church. Amen. Let's run these cross references quickly, and we'll go through these. The bride of Christ is the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Paul, preaching to the church at Corinth here, says in verse 1, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So he's preaching to the church of Corinth here, and he says, listen, you are the church, you're the bride of Christ. That's what we are as a church. We're the bride of Christ. If you would, go over to Ephesians. Great chapter of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, just a few pages over. And we see it really begins in verse 21. Well, husbands, wives, great verses to read together. Really, really is. I mentioned this before, but when I was a youth pastor, I preached on these verses, these 13 verses, 21 through 33, for 6 months. 6 months about how to find a spouse, what to look for in a spouse. And I called it preventative maintenance. It's a whole lot better to change your oil than to have to get a new engine. Amen? And so it's right here, there's so much in here. Verse 27 says, "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery," speaking of marriage, "but I speak concerning Christ and the church." See, one day, and we've talked about this, we looked at the marriage supper of the Lamb there, and if you go over to Revelation 19, look at these last cross references here. See, the Lord is going to come for His bride one day. The symbolism is so beautiful, and if you missed that lesson, I would encourage you to go back. You can go back on the internet, go back on our podcast. I'll be glad to give you the notes on the symbolism, the Jewish wedding, the old Oriental wedding. And how the husband, the groom would go away and he would build a home for his bride. And then he would come back. Come back and claim her. And you know, 2,000 years ago, our bridegroom went away. And he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He's been preparing it, and we're going to study about it here tonight. But one day he's going to come back and catch his bride, and it's going to be before that awful tribulation period. He's not going to drag his bride through the mud of the tribulation. But we find in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 7 and 8, It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're part of the bride of Christ. God here gives us a symbol of this heavenly Jerusalem, this city coming down. And it says there on your outline, however, just as a bride adorns, in the Greek word there is a beautiful word, you ladies know it. It's kosmeo. Sometimes, ladies think they got a wrinkle or something that needs a little fill. We don't do it. We're just ugly. Amen. Men are just ugly. That's just, we are what we are. Amen. Take it or leave it. Amen. And my wife said, I'll take it. She got the ring right there. I keep it on just to prove it. But ladies sometimes like to fix up and they use cosmetics. Correct? That's the word. It means to beautify, to adorn. I look back at some wedding pictures and I was thinking about having later this year, having an honor marriage Sunday. Just get back to honoring marriage, amen. By the way, there's a full-out frontal assault on true marriage today, amen. And I thought about having a table back there and posting some wedding pictures, amen. Have everybody bring in your wedding pictures. I remember how my wife adorned herself for her husband that day. And you men, I know you men could agree with me. You remember seeing how your wife had got up early that day, your wedding day, and made herself just look so beautiful. Amen. That's what it's like, this new Jerusalem coming down. It's of wedding day beauty. Amen. Wedding day beauty. And so, just as a bride adorns kosmeo herself to be beautiful for her husband, so is the new Jerusalem wonderfully prepared. So we have Roman numeral number one, the declaration. Page two there, Roman numeral number two, you have the description. The description. Back to Revelation 21. It is interesting to note the prominence of the number 12 concerning this square heavenly city. If you would, look at the scriptures just quickly. Just run through these quick. Look at verse 12. How about that? Verse 12, amen. It said, and had a wall great and high that had 12 gates. And the gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And the names are written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Down to verse number 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles. Down to verse 60. It says, and the city lieth four square, and the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, which is 12 times 12. 144,000. And then, of course, down to verse 21. And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Number one, if you would, the light of the city. The light of the city. Found in verse 11 and 23, we find the light of the city. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then if you go down to verse 23, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The light is pure, clean, unflawed, undimmed, and brilliant. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. And by the way, may we take stock in that. Do you know that the moon has no light of her own? She reflects the sun. Do you know what God wants us to do? Reflect the S-O-N. Amen? be mirrors for God, that we would reflect Him in our lives and shine His light out to a dark, dying, and lost world. The light of the city. Number two, the wall of the city. The wall of the city, found in verses 12 through 14 and verse 17. It says, "And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and a name written thereon, which are the names of 12 tribes of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Verse 17. "And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of the angel." First of all, under there, the wall of the city, we see the greatness. We see the greatness. Verse 12, and I just did a little math here. You teenagers didn't think you were going to have a math lesson tonight, but I did all the work for you. All you got to do is fill in the blanks. Amen. 144 cubits by multiplied by 18 inches, because that's what a cubit is, roughly. Okay. 18 inches is one cubit, equals 2,592 inches, divided by 12 inches, which is a foot, gives us a wall 216 feet high. That's pretty high. That's 20 basketball hoops, for those of you that can measure by that. I don't know what our ceiling is here. I'm not sure. I would say it's probably 20 feet, maybe 25. Listen, that's a lot. We need that wall around Parnell. Nobody'd ever get out, amen? And I think that's the idea here. The greatness of it, just the wall of the city is great. It's 216 feet high. Not only the greatness concerning the wall, but the gates. The gates in verse 12. It said, "In the wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. In the gates, 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Okay, and then if you go down to verse 25, something wonderful about these gates. "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there." Those heavenly gates are never shut. We can come and go. Come and go. How about that? Amen. Never shut. Don't have to lock them. The gates. Under that, we see the guards in verse 12. Who are the guards? Those that have privilege of standing at the gate. They're angels. 12 angels. You say, "Pastor, does heaven need guards?" No, it certainly doesn't. But God can do what He wants. And He ordained 12 angels at the 12 gates. I often think about that in Lucifer's fall. They talk about Lucifer as being the cherub that covereth. And God had two angels that hovered over the throne of God. Do you know He doesn't need angels? But He ordains them to specific ministries. By the way, He doesn't need us. But He ordains us to specific ministries. So the guards, something else we see. B, we see the garnishing in verse 12. The garnishing. It says, "In the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel." Something else we see there about the garnishing. We see the people. Who are the people? They're the 12 tribes of Israel. Those 12 sons. And listen, you want to split theological hairs, let me just tell you, I don't know. If you look earlier in Revelation chapter 7, the tribe of Dan has been excluded for idolatry. Terrible idolatry. I don't know if Dan will be included. He was one of the 12 sons of Israel. I don't know. Okay, I think he will be, and the reason I think I have a little scriptural basis on that is the cross-reference we have there for you, Ezekiel 48, the millennial temple, Dan's name is listed. Okay, now again, I'll not split hairs. If you think it's Manasseh or Ephraim, that's fine, but we know this. There's going to be 12 names written there. Not only the people that are garnishing the gates, but number two, the pearls. Look at verse 21. It says, "And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl." I have a message I preach. I believe I preached it the first time I ever came here. And it's called the Pearl of the Gates. And why I believe those are literal pearls. I don't believe that these are symbolic. I believe somewhere down in the depths of the ocean is the biggest clam you've ever seen. And he's got a big old pearl in his mouth. And there's 12 of them all across the ocean. And they're going to be right there, those gates. Oh, I'll tell you what. These gates, they're garnished with the people and pearls. Something else, the guards, the garnishing, the grouping in verse number 13. The grouping of these gates. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. So we give you here the grouping that is listed in Ezekiel chapter 48. First blank line there, you have east. And east, the east gates going from north to south. So going down, we find these names, Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. Then we have the grouping on the north, the names on the gates here. Levi, Judah, Reuben. Then not only east and north, but south. Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun. And then we have the west, the last 3. Naphtali, Asher, and Gad. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. And again, I believe that God has them there, and obviously we'll look later, He has the apostles there as well, because there's a specific time and program that Israel was used. There was a specific time that the apostles were used to the church, and God recognizes their ministries there. We see the gates, we see the greatness, the gates. Thirdly, we see the groundwork or the foundations there, the groundwork. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. So again, we have the garnishing, found in verse 14 and verses 18 through 20. We see it under there. Number one, we see the people, and that's the 12 apostles. Again, splitting hairs. I don't believe Judas Iscariot will have his name on the heavenly wall. I believe Paul is the apostle born out of due time. That 12th apostle that took Judas' place. Again, I'll give you grace on that, but I really believe that. Number 2, not only the people, but the peculiar. Verse 18, the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Imagine a whole wall, 12 foundations of just jasper. My wife and I, we honeymooned in a place called Newport, Rhode Island. A really neat place. It's where the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts all had their little summer cottages. Summer cottages. Brother Kelly, I looked at one of the summer cottages and it had 12 chimneys sticking out of the top. And I read it had 190 rooms in it. Just a little summer place, amen? And we went into one place, one house, and it was called the Marble House. In 1899, if my figures are correct, and I believe they are, it took $2 million of marble to make it in 1899. Which I cannot tell you what that would translate to now. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I remember I went in and I took a picture and somebody came over to me real quick. You can't take pictures here. So, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to dim the marble. But literally the whole house, the entire house is made out of marble. Can you imagine? I like to slide down those stairs, amen. I like to sit on the floor in the summertime like today, amen. But this foundation, this whole 12 foundations is made out of jasper. How awesome. How peculiar, amen. But then we have the precious. Not only the people, the peculiar, but the precious. It says there in verse 18, in the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city itself was pure gold, like in the glass. And the foundations of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Precious stones all over the wall. Stuff that men would die for. And could we say this? That men would kill for. Do you know there are slaves still in Africa, slaves to their own people, because their countries have diamond mines? You know what they are? They're just part of the walls in heaven. These stones that men would die for and kill, they're just part of the wallpaper of heaven. Think about that. Number three, we see under the description, the light of the city and the wall of the city, we see the measurement of the city. The measurement of the city. Again, another math lesson here. 12,000 furlongs. I had to look up what the exact dimension of a furlong was. 582 feet is a furlong. So you take 12,000, multiply it times 582, you get 6,984,000 furlongs. Okay? Divided by 5,280 feet, which is 1 mile, gives you the measurement of heaven is 1,322 miles. 1,322 miles square. Okay? So we have a little map there that we've given you. Okay? So just think about this. Think about the vastness. I was looking out here today. You know, there are people that, the same people that say heaven's going to be too small are the same people that say Noah could never have fit all those animals in the ark. And they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Listen, you look at this area of the United States that we have there blocked out for you, and it's roughly 1,300 miles. I was doing it by pen and trying to scale it and everything. It's 1,300 miles wide, which is from Louisville, Kentucky to Denver, Colorado, and from Sturgis, South Dakota to Houston, Texas. Okay? It's that 1,322 miles wide and 1,322 miles deep. And 1,322 miles high. Heaven, listen, you're going to have plenty of room. Your mansion, I was telling Pastor Donald today, I said, you know, we're not going to be up there with our little lawnmowers going, brr, brr, and then we're done, because that's all we got. We just got this one little spot in heaven. Trust me, there's plenty of room for everybody. Plenty of room. The measurement of the city. And then we see number four, the value. The value of the city. Find that in verse number 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Gold, and I put here as of Wednesday, March 14th, 1:26 p.m., when I was studying for this, I went on the internet and looked up what an ounce of gold is worth. Not that I own any. Some of you do, maybe you do in your portfolio. Good for you. $1,644.80 per ounce. Many times we sing of the golden streets. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were of 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent. However, the entire city is made of gold. Can you imagine the value? I say, can you imagine the street value of the streets? Can you imagine the whole city? It's going to take more than an ounce, I'll tell you that right now. It's going to take more than pounds and tons, and you just name it. The value of that city, it can't even be measured. God makes the whole city of gold. What a city. We're going to live there, folks. We're going to live there. Amen. Wow. Number five, the worship of the city. Not only the measurement of the city, the value of the city, the worship of the city. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 26 says, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. The thrice holy God is the center and object of worship in the heavenly city for all eternity. Nobody but God will be the object of our affection. Nobody. Nothing but God will be the object of our affection. You know, sometimes we get a little You know, sometimes I got to take my glasses and I have to wipe them. We get a little bit of junk on the lenses, don't we? Those of us that wear glasses. By the way, it's a great looking crowd right now. Great looking crowd. Amen. We do. Our lenses just get a little fogged up, and we wipe them and we see clearly. You know, sometimes we set our affections on things of the earth. Amen? We do. We put things ahead of God. You know, we'll never have to worry about that in heaven. God will be our God, and He will be worshipped alone. And all God's people said, Amen. Number 6, we see the population of the city. And obviously, we'll not dwell long here, but verse 24, and I love this verse. You ought to mark this verse. It says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor." Never forget, folks, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He fell down at their feet and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I love that word, saved. I don't shy away from that word. I like it. People ask you sometimes, "How are you?" "I'm saved." How about that? Amen. That'll throw them. 7. Not only the population of the city, the worship of the city, the value of the city, the measurement of the city, the excluded of the city. The excluded of the city. Verse 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." The wicked have been fairly judged at the great white throne judgment. Listen, sometimes, folks, sometimes we say, if we don't say it in our hearts, or if we don't say it with our lips, sometimes we say it in our hearts, "God's not fair. God's not fair." Listen, and I'm not being over pious. I've said it. We don't want God to be fair. We don't want God to be fair. We want Him to be merciful. We want Him to be gracious. But listen, the truth is, these that have gone before the great white throne have been fairly judged as sinners condemned. Okay? They come to the great white throne judgment and are not permitted entrance into heaven as their names are no longer in the book of life. We talked about that last week. That their names had been blotted out. They were once there, but their names were blotted out. We talked about, how do I keep from having my name blotted out? "Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Goes right along with our Sunday night service. Listen, it's not because you feel saved. It's not because of what you do. It's by your faith in the Savior that overcomes. Thank God for that. Father, we